The other day, I was focusing on the value and the importance of G12 and how it fits in the context of your personal life and every life that you and I would want to evangelize and win to the kingdom of God. There has to be a why behind the what of everything that we do. And of course, Jesus Christ is that why. And most people don't understand a lot of the things that we're endeavoring to bring to them through Jesus. And of course, there's an antichrist spirit working all over this world. But that's why we've been anointed to break the power of the enemy. Can I have an amen? But I want you to understand, the other day I was listening to the Spirit of God while I was in prayer. And it reminded me of a portion, a scripture that I'd like to share from you out of Jeremiah 18. It says, "Now, prophet, say to the people, like clay on a potter's wheel, I will shape you and your destiny." I'll say it again. "Now, prophet, say to the people, like clay on a potter's wheel, I will shape you and your destiny." You know, God-ordained destinies are born out of the heart of God. And they're also born through times and seasons of life. When you don't understand the times and seasons of life, discouragement and disappointment can settle into your life, and you could end up giving up on something that God has actually given you the power to persevere and to conquer in your life. And so seasons require a process. The process is what I call, I guess I can refine it and say, is the principle by which this universe works. It's called seed, time, and harvest. You know, the seed of your faith, given time, will always produce a harvest. And I want you to understand that when you don't understand the processes or don't understand the attacks that come across your life because you're a person of destiny, you're a person of purpose, you could possibly end up giving something up before you conquer what God has called you to conquer. Because we buy into arguments and lies and circumstances that are not greater than God, but sometimes we make them greater than the power of God. But I want you to understand that today, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3:1, which you all know, "To everything there is a season and a time for every matter, every purpose under heaven." Daniel chapter 2, verse 1 talks about how God changes the times and the seasons. You know, times are not and seasons are not automatically set. God doesn't want us to struggle. God does not want us to think that, you know, this is just a dry season that God is putting me through something. God's not putting you through anything. He's trying to get you out of whatever you're in. But you need to understand it's your faith that will get you out. Our obedience to listen to the Spirit of God. When you don't learn your lesson, you can't go from the second grade to the third grade. Okay, I'll try again. You don't pass your, like going to school, if you don't learn to pass certain subject matters, how can you go from one level, one grade level to the next? The Bible talks about how we are to go from glory to glory, from strength to strength, from faith to faith, and from grace to grace. So there are certain things that you have to realize. It's not about being a senior in the kingdom of God. It's about being a faith man or woman in the kingdom of God. It's about being obedient to the voice of the Spirit of God. Y'all aren't listening to me now. Listen, I need you to listen up here. Because God wants to take us. God wants to do something on this planet. We got but a vapor of time here on this planet. We got our generation to win. We got things to do. We got things to accomplish for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? And so what we're doing with G12 and with ourselves and with all the things that are coming together is critically important. But you have to understand what it's all about. Because if you don't, you're going to make it mechanical when it's actually all ministry. It is ministry of the Holy Ghost. But there are some mechanics that go along with it. But it doesn't leave out the work of the Holy Ghost. Because if you don't have the breath of God on you, you don't have anything working in you. I said you need the breath of God on you to have something working in you. I'm going to try that empty section over there. Anyways, listen. Seasons are times for growing and developing the maturity and strengthening our lives. You know, it's times of preparation before the manifestation of what you desire in your life. You know, the Bible says that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God. And you ought to understand that you and I need to continue to grow. Say grow. Growing is a good thing. That's why I like this whole process that we're in right now called destiny training. Because it is not a set of classes. It's a revelation of what God wants to do in a person's life. When a person in the class understands how important it is to go to destiny training, not for the set of classes and unique perspectives that we now have and a new way of training individuals, but it's about their life, it's about their purpose, it's about the why of why they're on this planet Earth. It will excite them, it will motivate them, it will inspire them, it will fire them up. And I'm here to tell you, people will pursue the purpose of God. Now, I need to hurry because you're listening slower than you should be. One of the things you need to understand is that we are the blood-bought church of the redeemed. I said we are the blood-bought church of the redeemed. I said we are the blood-bought church of the redeemed. But you need to understand that God has redeemed you from being a person that is aimless, without purpose, and without direction. You know, to be aimless, to have no destiny, is a curse that Jesus came to resolve in every human heart on this planet. And I want you to understand, no matter what you've been through, no matter what kind of hell you think you're going through, I want you to understand you are still marked with destiny by the blood of the Lamb. Could y'all hear what I'm saying? And so let me help you to understand. First of all, let me say that, you know, in Galatians 3:13, the Bible says that we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. For cursed is every man that hangeth on the tree. And the Bible says in 1 John that the reason the Son of God was made manifest, the reason he came and was made manifest, is so that he might destroy the works that the devil has done. Now, there are a list of things that we can list right now, but I want to target in on something for just a moment of what you've been redeemed from by the blood of the Lamb, which makes you very powerful on this planet. And that is called aimlessness. Aimlessness. See, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, it says, Jesus looked out over the crowds with compassion, so confused and aimless sheep without a shepherd. One translation says that they were powerless, they were hopeless, and they were directionless and shepherdless. But here it uses the word in this translation, aimless. Say aimless. And you need to understand that when it talks about aimless, it's talking about having no aim in your life. See, Peter said this. Peter said, we have been redeemed from aimless conduct. That's conduct without any aim. Duh. Right? That's like not knowing why you're waking up in the morning. Not knowing what you're doing in your life. Going through the motions but having no passion. Carrying out about your life but with no Holy Ghost influence on you. Do you hear what I'm talking about? You don't know why you're reading your devotionals. You don't know why you're really going to church. Somebody wake up here. You don't know why God is working in your life. You don't understand why destiny training is important. You don't understand why sales are important. Pastors, you don't know why G12 is being attacked. Because it's a God-given strategy to raise up your churches and cause you to fulfill God's vision for this planet, which is to make disciples. Wow! It's amazing, ladies and gentlemen. You know, you get critics criticizing things, and they themselves are not winning any souls, they're not making any disciples, their churches are shrinking, and you are getting affected by the powerless instead of the all-powerful who said, you know, this vision is about winning. It's about consolidating. It's about discipling. And it's about sending people out for the kingdom of God's purpose. Come on, somebody get excited in the house. See, when you don't have an aim, the word aim, of course, that you couldn't look it up, it means to have, to be aimless or to have aim. First of all, means to have direction. To have aim means to have direction. A target, a course, a destination, a dream, or a destiny. It means that your life has meaning. It has a plan to it. There's a purpose. There's a pursuit. And I want you to understand, when you are aimless, it means you have no direction. You have no real dream. You have no God-given destiny.
And you have to understand that you and I are here to affect people's lives. And you need to understand, Paul said it this way. Paul said, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. He said, even I, Paul the Apostle, I do not run aimlessly. I know why I get up in the morning. I know what I'm supposed to do in my life. And I'm doing it. I'm advancing the kingdom of God. I'm just kind of summarizing it for you. But even Paul addressed the word aimless, because to be aimless is under the curse. We, the church, is not aimless. Say, we are not aimless. We are people of destiny. Say, we are a people of destiny. God-given destiny. And so this is what I want you to understand, that we are a people that are going through a process. When you don't understand the process, you don't understand the attacks on your life, you get discouraged. And the first thing you start throwing away are the principles that will keep you focused, which is the dumbest thing you could ever do, which I'm glad no one in this room ever did. Amen. Could I have a better amen than that? So God's process produces a glorious destiny. See, the Bible says in Psalms 73, it says, you guide me with your counsel, leading me to a glorious destiny. A glorious destiny. Have you stepped into your glorious destiny? And I'm here to tell you, God wants to resurrect, reignite, reawaken, and cause to come alive on the inside of leaders and pastors and fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters, cell leaders of every kind, churches, to awaken, to realize your best is not behind you. Your best is in front of you. Y'all didn't hear what I said. I said, your best is not yesterday. Your best is right, what you're doing today to get to your tomorrow. Y'all better wake up now. I'm talking to you. That's why Paul said, forget those things which are behind you and reach forward to those things which are before you. You say, well, pastor, you don't realize what I've gone through. Well, then you didn't realize what Jesus went through to give you a vision, a future, and a hope. Come on, somebody. But some people will sit here and discount themselves as ever being able to have a glorious destiny. And I'm talking to cell leaders now, and I'm talking to disciples now, and I'm talking to pastors now, whom I love with a great passion, with great compassion. But this is what you have to have a conviction about. See, some people think that the trouble in their life somehow has put them in a particular category, and no one understands what they've gone through, and no one can feel what their soul has gone through. And I realize going through valleys and going through the kind of hell sometimes the enemy throws at us, he's just trying to give you his best shot, which is never enough. Because you always got the blood of Jesus. You always have the name of Jesus. You always have the power of the Holy Ghost. You got what the Word says. But now you got to activate your faith to see the power of God come alive in your life. It will never come alive unless you activate your faith. Things are not going to be automatic. You're going to have to activate your faith. Can I have an amen? Or give me a woe is me. Give me something anyways. But there are people that sometimes feel that because of the hardship that they have faced, or the one too many times they have failed, or the events they have tried to do and found more defeat than they have victory, or because of the way they grew up, or because of how they were labeled, or because of how they were rejected, or because they were raising up some leaders and some leaders walked away. You know, this is not going to work. That's like saying the gospel doesn't work. Does everybody you witness to salvation turn to the Lord instantly? You don't know. So why would you throw away everything that the gospel is asking you to do, which is to make disciples? Well, I just thought I'd point that out to you since you already understood it. But see, it all comes down to whose hands you will put your life into. Watching my time, because they didn't give me very much. Because I only have to midnight. See, discipleship, I'm giving you the summary here. Discipleship is the key to understand God's process for fulfilling your destiny. And most people don't understand it. And when we pastors don't understand it, you'll make it into the mechanics and not bring out the life in it. It's not about just going to classes. It's not about just doing things a new way. It's about letting a person know who is spirit-filled that they are breathing life into the destiny. But I'm here to tell you, I guess I'm going to that stage in my life. Anyways, pray for me. And some of you already started praying for me, I know. But notice this. I want to give you three statements that are very important. Destiny starts with a God encounter. You know, you'll never find your destiny till you have a God encounter. And that first God encounter will have to be the fact that you've been born again. But then that's why we have encounters. Encounters are not exercises to take up your time. Or trying to rob you from an extraordinary weekend with your children. Come on, if you want to raise up children, you better wake up to what God's going to do inside of you, or you're never going to have the children that you think you're going to have in the later years of your life. Well, amen me or not, I'm still going to go on. So you got to have a God encounter. Say God encounter. If you, the destiny I'm talking about is not out of some secular book, not out of some motivational, inspiring guru that is enamored your heart and enamored your soul, but it has nothing to do with your spirit. I'm talking about a destiny that comes from heaven that does not avoid the very process that God has set on this earth for the church to accomplish, which is called discipleship. Most people don't understand discipleship. Oh, you do that? Yes, we do what the gospel says we are to do. But it's amazing how many Christians don't know how to respond to discipleship. Well, don't apologize for the gospel. Jesus did not apologize for the cross. He did not apologize for his resurrection. He did not apologize for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He did not apologize for his word. Why do you have to apologize somehow to a society that does not know God about discipleship, which is going to get them to get to their destiny? They got to be born again. People have got to be born again because that's the God encounter. Say God encounter. I love encounters. That's where they encounter as Andres was saying last time, the presence of God. The presence of God can do more than you can ever do with your tricks, your hoops, and your games. Wow, the preacher started preaching. Secondly, destiny is discovered through discipleship. Now, you know, discipleship, you say, well, Pastor, are you saying that all that God is going to do in my life, his purpose in my life is in discipleship? Well, yeah. Let me explain to you why. Now, I used to be an architect. Now, this wonderful, beautiful facility is seen and known by everybody in this community. And it's acknowledged. And but what no one understands or no one sees is the foundation that is underground, that if this building that you see and you and I are using and enjoying the benefits thereof, it's built on a foundation. The believer, the born again believer who has said Jesus Christ is Lord of my life, has to understand there's a fundamental foundation to your life that you build the rest of your life. Whether God's called you to be a medical doctor, in the social service, an educator, you have to have that Jesus Christ-centered foundation and never let go of it, because that will be the central to everything you do on this planet called Earth. Nothing you will ever do that you think is your call to do in whatever field of endeavor, as a believer, is meant to be done without Christ in the center of it. The moment you start living Christless, you have a crisis. You all did not hear what I just said. But it's why Christians who come to church on Sunday, who will not go through the process of discipleship, end up with crises, and then they say stupid things like, well, why did God let this happen? I'm talking to you, sweetheart. Listen. And the problem is, there is a process of discipleship. Destiny is discovered through discipleship and this building as it needs a foundation, so do you. And if you build a weak foundation, this building that you're trying to build called your life, your joy, your family, your career, your ministry will fall under the pressure of the attacks of the adversary, who will, I guarantee you, never have mercy on your life. He doesn't care whether you fail. He doesn't care whether you're defeated. He doesn't care whether you die an early life. Because he's after you, because you represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you represent a God-given destiny that he cannot stop if you but protect it. I might get excited here today. Jesus, help us all. Discipleship, the third thing is, discipleship is the process of fulfilling your God-given destiny. It really is. And you need to understand these things. Now, remember the word that God gave me. Now, prophet, say to the people, like clay on a potter's wheel, I will shape you and your destiny. Are you shapeable? The moment things come up in your life, do you run to the throne or do you run to the phone? I'll give you time on that one. But most people are not shapeable. They're complaint-driven. They look for some excuse. They look for some reason. They look for some, well, you know, it's this, and it's that, and it's this, and that doesn't work, and this doesn't work. Have you ever stopped to think that a problema in your life might be about you and not about all that's going on around you? But if that you would fix that thing on the inside of you, everything around you would change. Pastor Seth says, if I change, everything changes. Will Rogers once says, people change, but not much. But I want you to know today, we are called to change. From glory to glory, from strength to strength, from faith to faith, from grace to grace. Amen? So shaping is a process. God wants to shape you. Oh, I wish I had time. Okay, listen. The word is this. Now, prophet, say to the people, like clay on a potter's wheel, I will shape you and your destiny. Now, of course, this is taken, I have many great expounders of the word, have probably shared this much greater in its definitions than I have time to do right now. And so you should study this out. But God tells Jeremiah, to go down to the potter's house. And he said, I want you to look at what the potter is doing. And when you see what the potter is doing, I will then tell you what is going on. Of course, he goes down there and he sees the potter shaping. He's shaping something that is to the Lord's design. And he's not only talking about the children of Israel, but I want to take it even more specific and personal. He's talking about your life. Now watch. As an architect, I grew up and the architectural floor was up above, and the ceramic floor and arts and other directions were below. And they had this potter's wheel where they put the clay on top and they spin it around. And sometimes our life looks like it's spinning around. But it only spins out of control when you have your hands on yourself. Because the key of the potter shaping something beautiful is to allow him, to trust him, that he wants his hands on you. But he will not put his hands on you if you do not give him permission. How do I give him permission? By trusting the Lord with all of your heart, leaning not to your understanding, acknowledging him in all your ways that he will direct your paths. See, if you don't want him to put his hands on your life, then he can't shape you the way he needs to shape you in your life. And so you're going to end up with a life void of his hands on your life. And so no one's going to be able to read the fingerprints of God's work in your life because you never gave him permission to put his hands on your life. But if you will trust him with your life, people will see the fingerprints of God on your life, and they will see the amazing things that only God can do in your life. Thank you. Buy the tape. Anyways, and so one of the things that I want you to see is very important because, I gotta hurry, gotta hurry, gotta hurry. Got things to do, places to go, and people to see. And it says here, and he says, there he was, this is verse 3. It says, then I went down to the potter's house. And there he was, the potter, making something at the wheel. Verse 4. And a vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. The word mar means to ruin the beauty of something, to hurt, to damage, to inflict. And so sometimes when you let God put his hands on you, he might find a stone or a piece of something in there. And he stops the wheel to pluck it out. Character flaw, to pluck it out, bad habit, to pluck it out, that gossip thing you have going on, to pluck it out, that spirit of disappointment, to pluck it out, that faceless lifestyle, to pluck it out, that little pornography thing, oops, sorry, that little thing you got going on in your life, you know, to pluck it out. To pluck it out. He's not going to hurt you. He is going to prosper you. He says to you out of Jeremiah, I know the plans that I have for you. You don't know the plans that I have for you, but I know the plans that I... You ain't listening to me. Somebody needs to hear this. Somebody needs to hear this. He says in Jeremiah, I know, God says, I know the plans that I have for you. Meaning you don't know everything he knows. You don't know what he knows. That he knows that you don't know. That he knows that you don't know. You don't know that. Because if you knew that, you'd be God. And that's the problem. We're always trying to take control from God. Okay, so instead of adopting the vision, we try to adapt the vision because we know better than God. I just thought I'd throw that out there. But anyway, so. And so here we go. And so he says, I know the plans that I have for you. And this version says, plans to prosper you, not plans to hurt you. See, he's trying to get you to understand, if you will let me put my hands on your ministry, if you will let me be Lord over your ministry, if you will trust me and get out of worry, get out of anxiety, you will get rid of the depression, I can defeat the adversary who's trying to come against you. You don't have to do it in the strength of your might, because you can't be everywhere at the same time. You are not God, I am, he says to you. But if you will trust me and realize that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I can protect you on the north, east, south, west of your life, the up and the down of your life. Come on, somebody. God's got you covered. Ah, Jesus. So I want you to understand, he's going to pluck out these things that will mar your life. And trust me. He wants to do something amazing. With that being said, I'm going to close with this video by a man by the name of Keith Sanborn. And Keith is an amazing story of why I am so passionate about G12, about raising up disciples, about seeing a life change and transformed in amazing ways that only God can do. And what God does in a short time, watch this story. I think you'll enjoy it. Watch.
I grew up in Tacoma, Washington, from a broken home. My dad left me, my mom, and my sister when I was about 5 years old. And I thought that was a normal lifestyle because all my cousins, their fathers were gone or they didn't know who their dads were. My aunts were never married. And even my grandma had like 3 marriages under her belt. Grew up in pretty rough area down in government housing. You know, I thought life was good. As I was growing up, I got in some trouble here and there, making some bad decisions. My mom ended up remarrying a wonderful guy, but it wasn't my dad, so I never gave him the respect that he deserved. Got kicked out of school and sent across town. And during that time, gangs were really bad in Tacoma, Washington, to where I would change my clothes on the bus so that I didn't cross over into other territories wearing the wrong color. Seventh grade, I watched my friend get shot execution style behind a Round Table Pizza because he was wearing the wrong clothes. I started spiraling out of control, drinking. I became the party guy for where I was at. I'd at the point where I almost didn't know the difference anymore. One day, out of the blue, I was at my friend's house, and all of a sudden, the Marine Corps recruiter showed up, and he offered me a ride home, and he gave me a ride out to my parents' house, and he didn't ask me to join or anything, and when we got to the house, I asked him if I could join the Marine Corps. And while I was signing the papers, my dad walked in and said it was about time I did something with my life, and my mom She was crying, telling me not to do it. And I just told both of them I hated them and stormed out of the house after I signed the papers. I was at graduation and I was standing there in formation and I heard somebody say, "There's my boy." And I turned around and it was my dad. I had tears in my eyes and I'd never been so happy to see my family and tell them how sorry I was for everything that I had put them through growing up and just thankful for everything that they had ever done for me. I re-enlisted right after 9/11 happened and I ended up getting orders to Chicago where I ended up meeting my wife now. We were just living to live, kind of having fun doing what we thought was right. When we moved to North Carolina, we had two kids at the time. One on the way, I got orders to go to Iraq. While I was in Iraq, my wife started going to church. Had all gotten saved, and I didn't even know what that was. While I was drinking Friday and Saturday night, sleeping in hungover on Sunday, my wife and kids were going to church. One Sunday morning, I was laying in bed, and my daughter Eden asked my wife, Christina, "Why doesn't Daddy go to church with us?" And my wife just told her, "Hey, Daddy's sick, he doesn't feel good." And my daughter Eden came over to me and said, "Don't worry, Daddy, I'll pray for you." I never jumped out of bed so fast in my life. Got in the shower, brushed my teeth on the way to church. I'm sitting in church and my kids get up for praise and worship and they run up front and start dancing and I'm trying to pull them back and tell them to sit down and my wife's telling me, "No, it's okay." And I didn't understand it. I just couldn't figure it out why I could go to a club and dance around and raise my hands. But in church, I just sat there. And that's when I started asking questions and getting interested. But right when that happened, I got deployed again. I was gone for 7 months. I had received orders to Okinawa, Japan. And when I called the monitor to change the actual reporting date because it was during my wife's due date, they said they couldn't do that, but they could send me to Hawaii. And we got excited about that, and we jumped on that. And some of our friends have told us about this church, Word of Life Christian Center. I just remember walking in during praise and worship, Coco up on stage singing Fire in the House of the Lord. I started moving my head a little bit, and then they started singing it in Spanish and then in Samoan, and something I had never done in a church environment. And about 2 weeks later on a Sunday, I raised my hand and went up front to get saved. I got consolidated by a life group leader, Brian Arakaki. Brian invited me to his life group. I ended up deploying about 4 months later. While I was in Afghanistan, Brian would send me all the weekly life group updates and I would share them with some of my Marines and I started getting bolder. I would pray for some of my Marines. At the end of the deployment, I came back. I was really excited to open a life group. There was a baptismal that was in May, and I signed up for it right away. And I went to the baptism. Brian brought me over. Some of my friends came down for it, and it was just an awesome experience. That's when I decided. I decided to start living my life through him. Mine and my wife's lives kind of got on track together, and we got in alignment, and it just changed. Our marriage got way better. I mean, it was okay, but it was nothing like it is now. Once I decided to follow Jesus, I really saw the change in my life. He really opened my eyes to what he was doing for my family and what this church has done for us. He's just been pushing us to excel at everything we do, to include my promotion. It's going to put me a year and a half ahead above all my peers. I've only been in the Marine Corps 15 years. I'm getting promoted to first sergeant, and I know it's through Christ that all this is happening to my life, and it's just an amazing, amazing feeling. When I decided to follow him, that's when my life changed, and it's been an amazing ride. We're just very grateful. My name is Keith Sander, and I have decided.
Man, let's all stand to our feet, please. Would you please stand to your feet as I close in prayer here this morning? You know, I want you to see one thing. Keith Sander made a decision. You know, a lot of our pastors who understand, we understand that a church will not grow by decisions alone. It grows by consolidation. He gave a lot of credit to a man that you didn't see up there. His name was Brian, who consolidated him after he made the initial decision and helped him to become a life group leader. And even when he was deployed, you know, to the various areas to defend and to, to do his military service, Brian kept in contact with him. That's consolidation that does not stop. And when he came back, he was so excited. You know, when a lot of people sometimes, unfortunately, and my heart goes out to them, and I meet a lot of them that come back with what's called PTSD, he came back with a vision to open a life group. And he reached so many Marines. And I just want you to realize the process of to win, consolidate, disciple, and send, we're all there. And that life is because of the process of the ladder of success that we so often talk about. It was not mechanical. It was life. It was spirit. And I know that we can join that vision, run with that vision, because that's part of his destiny. And it's amazing. Amen. And his best, like your best, is just begun, and the best is yet to come.